has been, and I suspect still is, a long-standing debate in the Christian church. Who is responsible for our salvation? Now, I'm going to suggest both of our readings this morning point to God as being the one who is solely responsible for our salvation. But there has been debate about this over the centuries. In the 4th century, St. Augustine argued against a man named Pelagius, who, to summarize roughly, thought that we are saved by our works, that we can choose to do good or do evil, and by what we do, we earn our salvation. Augustine disagreed and said it's all the work of God. Augustine was picking up on Paul. Our ancestors in the Protestant Reformation picked up on that same idea. You may remember the Roman Catholic Church at that time had a whole system of indulgences. Willard doesn't like it when I talk about the Catholic Church, do you, Willard? And you remember at the time, one of the things that led Martin Luther to begin to revolt was something called indulgences, where if you gave enough money to the church, you could, in essence, buy your salvation. The Protestant reformers said, no, it is all the work of God. And so we get our readings this morning. And as I encourage you to do, they are full of references to God's activity. Paul, in fact, begins with how we used to behave, and then God acted. That most famous verse of the New Testament that, I don't know, do you still see people holding up those signs at sporting events, John 3:16 occasionally? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Now, I'll get back to that whoever has faith or believes in him part. But notice the activity here is God's. God so loved the world that God sent Jesus to save us. Because after all that time, it was becoming pretty clear we were not able to save ourselves. And Paul picks up on this language again and again in this passage, a passage that our Protestant reformer ancestors loved, by the way. In this passage, he says again and again, it's God at work. It's God's love. It is God who has given us life. It is God who allows us to have any hope. We are God's accomplishment. God's grace. Salvation is God's gift. Notice Paul even says it's not even our possession, this salvation. It's nothing that we can be proud of. It is solely the gift of God. We are saved, as the phrase goes, and it's translated slightly differently in our reading today in Ephesians, but we are saved by grace through faith. By God's grace. Salvation is a gift of God. And it would be a little strange if someone gave you a gift. Let's say it's your birthday and someone gives you a gift and you open it and it's the one thing you've always wanted. And it would be very strange for you at that point to say, oh, I'm so proud of myself for opening this gift. No, you say, oh, thank you to the one who gives it. Now, you do need to receive that gift and open it. But it would be a little strange to take credit for having received the gift and opened it. You have to do it, but it's a little strange to think, oh, I'm such a good person since I opened this gift. Salvation is God's gift given to us. We must receive it. But we can't take a lot of credit for receiving the most wonderful gift ever given. And that's where the faith comes in. to trust that the gift has been given and to receive it, but not to take credit for it. As I was thinking about all this week, I was remembering my grandmother, my mother's mother, really, because I was the youngest in our family. She's the only one of my grandparents I really got to know particularly well. She had not sort of faded yet or gotten ill by the time I was old enough to know her. Every year, I was thinking about my birthday. Every year on my birthday, since birthday number one, I would get a birthday card from my grandma Pierce. And in it would be $5, a $5 bill. You know, usually a brand new crisp. You know, she'd gone to the bank to get a $5 bill. Now, when I was five or six, getting a $5 bill in the mail, I was ecstatic. $5! I must admit, as the years went on and the amount in the card didn't increase, you know, when I got to my teen years, and you know how teenagers are, I was kind of like, oh, $5, I might as well just go burn it, you know, thanks a lot. You know how teenagers are. Unfortunately, some of us do act that way sometimes about God's gifts. Oh, another beautiful sunny day, and thanks a lot. Anyway, that's for another sermon, maybe. So I would get every year this card with $5. It was a token of how much my grandmother loved me. Now, I also remember my mother always saying, as soon as I'd open it, now you sit down and you write Grandma a thank you note. And I would, even in my surliest teen years, you know, thanks, Grandma, I love you. But I would write it. But my thank you note had no bearing on that gift. Whether or not I sent a note of thanks, my grandmother was going to send that birthday card and that $5 every year. But I had to acknowledge for myself, I'd have been a real heel to not at least write a thank you note for that gift. But my thanking my grandmother, my receiving that gift, my acknowledging that gift, even in my surly teen years, had nothing to do with whether I was going to get that gift again next year. I was going to get it, even if I didn't write any thank you note. That thank you note reflected on me. It had nothing to do with whether or not I was going to receive that gift. And God's gift of grace and love and salvation is like that. God gives it. Now, we are encouraged to acknowledge that gift, to respond to that gift, to say thanks for that gift by how we live our life. But whether we respond or not does not change whether that gift has been given. It's given. And we can choose how we want to respond. It has been said, we are not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. That's our response. Whether we do it or not, God will continue to love us and save us, and forgive us. Let me just end by going back for just a moment to my Grandma Pierce. I was in college, I was away at school, my grandma had taken ill and was bedridden for the last part of her life. And I will admit, I didn't like seeing her that way, and I sort of stopped going to visit. I was uncomfortable. And I didn't send as many cards and letters. But I remember finally, my mom kept saying, have you sent your grandma a card? No, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Finally sent one to her just to say, you know, I'm fine, Grandma. Love you. Got word the next day she had died. About a week later, that card came back to me unopened. And I have kept that card unopened ever since, as a reminder of a lot of things, one of them being, don't wait to tell people, thank you and I love you. What I wouldn't give to have sent that card a few days earlier, to have one more chance to tell my Grandma Pierce how much she meant to me, how much I appreciated that silly $5 in that birthday card every year, because it meant she loved me. So when it comes to God's gift of salvation and love and forgiveness and grace, let me simply end by reminding you, don't wait. The gift is yours. It's given to you today yet again, but don't wait to tell God thank you in some way. Amen.